Andrew, this weekend we have the Super Netball Season 2 final starting. We've got the Giants versus the Fever 1v2 in the major semi-final, and we've got Queensland Firebirds and the Sunshine Coast Lightning 3v4 in the minor semi-final. That nearly didn't end up that way with the incredible bonus point situation that there is going in the Super Netball this year. I think three teams ended up with more bonus points than actual match points for winning games.
That's great. They got a bonus for being good. And it came down to the last match of the season, the Lightning against the Melbourne Vixens. But, AJ, it's not necessarily our area of expertise.
We
could. However, Erin Delahunty is on the line with us. She is just champing at the bit to go at the bonus points.
Erin, welcome back to the Sporting Discussion. How are you?
Oh, thank you very much, boys. Thanks for having. I'm very good, thank you. The netball season is getting to the exciting end, both the Super Netball and lots of local netball as well coming into finals as September approaches. That's always an exciting time.
And so after 14 rounds, we had the Giants with 10 wins and a draw, the West Coast Fever with 10 wins, the Firebirds 9 wins, the Lightning 8 wins and a draw, and then the Vixens just missing out on the finals. They had 8 wins, but they were 10 points behind the Lightning because of the bonus points situation. Now, this year was the first year of bonus points. We talked about that before the start of the season. It's one bonus point up for grabs each quarter for the highest scoring team in that quarter. Was brought in to make sure that teams, even if you couldn't win the game, that you would still try to fight out the last quarter. Now, Erin,
you've done your homework there. That is a magnificent little wrap of the situation.
Thank you. Oh, I've got a few Kim Green concerns that I'll bring out throughout as well. But okay. I want to hear your thoughts on it. Firstly, on the bonus point situation, what you thought of it at the start of the year, and then how your thoughts about it progressed throughout the year.
Well, look, there was a lot of people that were sort of screaming blue murder at the start of the year with the suggestion of the bonus point. And I think, I mean, I spoke to you guys about it. I'm pretty sure at the time I said, let's see how it shakes out. And the immediate concern, I guess, was the weighting. The notion of having bonus points isn't that dissimilar to having a percentage column. You know, we end up the same and we need to split a team. That was how I certainly looked at it. There was always a concern, though, about the weighting. So 4 points for the win versus, you know, potentially 4 points, you know, in bonus points as well. Mm. And a lot of people talked at the start of the year about, well, you overlaid the ladder from the end of last season, you know, based off of this, and you would end up with the same ladder. So, you know, the view was it's going to add excitement. What was the lovely term they used? It was going to incentivize teams to stay in games.
And it was going involved.
Yeah, they love the big words. And also from a broadcast perspective, it was about them having a story to tell. And as the year unfolded, it did become more and more of an issue. And certainly players privately and publicly later in the season, and coaches certainly started to see where the concern was going to be. And the last couple of rounds, it sort of was writ large, the potential embarrassment that could have come from this.
That embarrassment was the last match between the Lightning and the Vixens, where the Vixens had won 8 games for the season, the Lightning had won 7.5 games for the season, and there was going to be, or there could have been a situation where the Vixens won, but they didn't win all of the quarters, and it would have meant that they had won 9 matches, the Lightning had won 7.5, but the Lightning would have finished ahead of the Vixens.
Mm-hmm. This time last week, the Netball Australia bosses were staring down a huge potential embarrassment. It really was, and it comes down to, I spoke to Liz Watson, ironically, from the Vixens about it, because they, from about, I don't know when, but there was a certain point where it became evident that Vixens, if anyone was going to suffer at the hands of the change, it was going to be them, because they weren't racking up bonus points in the way that other teams were, but they were winning games, which as far as I know, unless I've missed a memo, that is kind of the point of sport.
Yep.
So I spoke to Liz Watson for Guardian Australia about it, and she kind of, her basic premise was, you know, is it naturally just for a side that has won fewer games to play finals? And it's pretty difficult to make any kind of counter argument to that. So the fact that the Vixens were staring down potentially winning that game and winning it well, winning 2 to 3 quarters, and then not making finals, to me, would have left a lot of egg on a lot of faces. And the way that I sort of think about it is, you know, the thing with natural justice is it kind of defies definition. It just is what it is, right? It's something that just feels morally right or fair, or, you know, as Dennis DeNuto would say, it's just the vibe. And if we were sitting here now and the Lightning were playing in that final and the Vixens were sitting there and had won 2 more games, maths is not my strong point, but that's over 14 rounds. What's that? About 14, 15% more winning than the Lightning. It would have been a colossal miscarriage of natural sporting justice.
And at quarter time, that's what we were looking at. The Vixens won that first quarter, so they all of a sudden were looking as though win the game with only winning 1 more quarter, they would have been in that situation. Mm. Now, Kim Green at the start of the year from the Giants, she said, I don't want to see a situation where someone or a team with less wins gets in the finals due to the bonus points. She then brought up an interesting one during the season, about, I think, a couple of weeks in, saying the bonus point system is going to restrict the opportunities for younger players to play minutes, because if it's a close quarter and you need to get a bonus point, you might not take off your most experienced players. Now, is that something that was borne out? Was there a change in tactics due to this bonus point situation?
Yeah, look, I haven't sat down and actually analysed, you know, the minutes for different court players and things like that. But anecdotally, just watching, especially towards the end of the season, that's absolutely what has happened, because that's exactly the reality. You are actually fighting every step of the way, and that's what the bosses of the game, you know, that's what they wanted. So that absolutely has been the case, you know, as, you know, from where I sit. And I think probably, yeah, Super Netball is just fortunate that it fell, you know, the cards fell the way that they fell, because it'd be pretty, I mean, the Vixens would be upset about the way their season finished. Their superstar shooter, Mike Mwenda, you know, went down with a serious knee injury in the second last round. So for them to even be in that game at the weekend against the Lightning speaks volumes about them, and to only lose by, you know, a handful of goals that they did. But as I read Liz Ellis somewhere, I think in the Sydney Morning Herald, saying, you know, the sky didn't fall in. The ladder has finished. If we take the same argument from the start of the year, you overlay it, you know, the old ladder, you end up with the same top four this year. So we have the 4 best performing teams in terms of wins playing in finals. So the sky didn't fall in, but I think they dodged that storm cloud, I think.
Yeah, it was very much a near miss, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And I often say to people, and I hate comparing netball, you know, to other sports, but you think about if it was the AFL and it was the last round and you had Carlton finishing 8 and playing the finals, and Collingwood were just sitting outside of it and they'd won 2 more games.
It'd be funny.
Like, it'd be all kinds of wonderful. But I think there would be a pretty strong reaction to say, yes, we tweak the rules. Yes, there's way to make the game more exciting. But when it's all said and done, as fans and players and lovers of the game, what do we value the most? And we value who wins when the siren goes. So I think looking into next year, potentially the weighting of those points is where, you know, in my infinite wisdom, obviously, is where maybe they need to look at and getting the balance more correct. So, yes, you are rewarded.
Or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's more comparable to other, you know, other sports across the globe that have these kind of scoring gimmicks. Or, you know, even with soccer and things like that, there's different ways of doing it that doesn't reward you know, your Lightnings, or, you know, whoever it might be that are, you know, are really competitive but maybe aren't putting the games away. They still reward them, but not to such an extent.
Yeah. Well, let's just touch on that for a moment then. I mean, if you've got to have a bonus point, then fair enough, you've got to have a bonus point. But we were very
Do we have
nearly...
to have the bonus point? Is that a move? Is that just taken? Or
I think this is here to stay for Super Nipple.
Yeah.
Do you think... I mean, I'm looking at the table here, and Giants finished on top. 42 points from 10 wins and a draw, plus 34 bonus points. Now, 34 bonus points is a wacky number to me.
Lightning got, you know, more.
Yeah, they got they got 35. Yeah. They got 34 points from winning their actual games and 35 points from bonus points. Now, to me, that's way too many bonus points. Is there a way to dial it back? Maybe just do it by winning a half or something like that? What do you think?
Well, look, I think you just need to boost up the number of points for a win. So you get, you know, at least a third more points for a win than based on the bonus points. Do you know what I mean? So it goes to a 6 or an 8 points. Because to me that's the solution, because then the win, you know, the win has a more heavily weighting than just winning four quarters. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep. A win is different to winning, because winning four quarters of netball is not winning a game of netball. They're two distinctly different things.
Because currently under this system, one team could get 5 points and one team could get 3 points, and it's just not enough of a differential between the winner
for a win
and
a
loss. Loser.
Yeah.
So if it was
absolutely.
Yeah, if it was 6 points, then it'd be 7 points and 3 points, then you start to go, okay, maybe we could work with that. But let's look forward now to the matches. You've got the two best teams of the season, the Giants and the Fever, playing in the major semi-final, the Firebirds and the Lightning in the minor semi-final. Is it a matter of the Giants and the Fever just going through the motions until they meet in the grand final? Or is there a chance that the Firebirds or Lightning could make their way through to the last week of the season?
I think the Firebirds are looking just scarily good. I really do. They are just peaking at precisely the right time and just winning games in really impressive ways. That's not to say that the Giants, Fever and Lightning haven't been either. But I think the Firebirds are absolutely primed, and they would be Laura Geitz would be quite happy to be lining up against Bassett this weekend, because there's not many players, you know, there's not many players in the league that don't fear Caitlin, and Laura doesn't fear Caitlin. So I would keep an eye to the Firebirds, but I mean, the Giants are just really a really classy team, and you know, having just beaten the Fever, they will just be absolutely full of confidence. And to win the top spot and to win a home final in the last round against the team you're then going to come up against, that momentum is quite irresistible. But then Fever have had such a fantastic season, and they've gelled so well as a... Pardon?
It's been an incredible turnaround. I love it.
Extraordinary. And I wouldn't have picked them to have dropped four games. So I don't think they're going to waste the season that they've had and the momentum that they've necessarily created either, but it's about whether they can put it all together on the day. But, I mean, Lightning can win it as well. I mean, Lightning could go back, you know, could absolutely go back-to-back as well. But Firebirds, for me, are sitting exactly where they want to be sitting, and they would want to be playing through those finals, I think, because they are a kind of emotional's not the word, but they are a tight group and they thrive on that, you know, sort of sense of camaraderie. So I think they'll be quite happy to play their way through and potentially face the Giants in the grand final. So yeah, it's anyone's really. There's a great non-answer for you. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's all. I was going to say, you've got the Giants, who are just a consistent team both in attack and defence. You've got West Coast Fever with Janelle Fowler, who is dominant. And then you've got the Firebirds and Lightning, who are actually the number one and two in the least goals conceded for
defense
the season.
Defence wins flags, boys.
Yes.
Defence wins flags.
So is that...
It really does.
Because... at the start of the season, in the, across the first 6 weeks, it seemed to be that if you could stop Jeanille Fowler, then you've got yourself a chance of winning. If you can't stop her, then you've got no chance whatsoever. Done. Who's got the best defence to be able to try to do that?
Yep, I'm going to roll out one of these, you know, really cheesy lines, which is that as much as you can talk up Laura Geitz and all the goalkeepers in the league, when you're playing on someone like Fowler, it's not about that player. It's about the midcourt and it's about the supply. So that's why, you know, that's why sides do well or are able to contain her, is because they put pressure on the ball before it gets to her. So that's where I think the Firebirds are quite strong, and where they, having, you know, Gabby Simpson out at wing defence, is a huge advantage. And then even for them, they've got Gretel Tippett, who actually puts on a lot of defensive pressure, even from a goal attack position, and slows down that ball and, you know, helps the defenders confuse the space. So for me, I mean, the Giants, you know, did it well and have done it well. But again, for me, I think it's the Firebirds that probably have that as their measure. But then, I mean, again, the Lightning have that, you know, potential ability as well. Carla Mostert at goal defence for the Lightning has had just another fantastic season. Her game is just continuing to grow. So they have that ability as well.
Well, and you look at last week, the Giants against the Fever, and Fowler, she shot 63 goals out of 66. It's...
And people wonder why Nat Mehurst can't get back in the Australian team. I think I've got a fair idea why. Yeah, she probably needs to put up a bit more volume.
two from four. Yeah. But 35 assists.
And that's not to downplay the role that she plays.
No, not at all. Absolutely not
to downplay, you know, I mean, I don't know how many goals Paul Couch kicked when he was delivering the ball into Gary Ablett, but it probably wasn't very many, but he was putting it laces out to someone to turn around and kick six goals, you know, or whatever it might be, a game. So that's not to belittle Nat Medhurst at all, because that's the role that she needs to play in that team, and she's playing it absolutely magnificently. Mm. And why would she do anything else? So she's absolutely doing her job. It does put a power of pressure onto Fowler, but she hasn't even looked like really faltering this season. For, you know, she hasn't been, no one has dissected her game and completely taken her apart this season. So that's not to criticise Nat Medhurst.
Erin, who you got? Let's put the money where the mouth is for the tipping this week. So I'll take your word that you're going to take the Firebirds over the Lightning.
Yep.
And you've mentioned that you think the Giants will be in the grand final, so you've got them over the Fever in the first week, I'm guessing?
I think so, yep.
Yeah.
How
do you think it'll flow through?
So if I'm right, Fever play, who's that? So Fever will play Firebirds. Lightning in the prelim?
Yep.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah?
To then play the Giants in the final, so.
It's tough, isn't it?
Look, can we talk next week? No, look, I don't know. It's
too tough to call.
No, we can live with that too tough to call.
Yeah, I think it's too tough to call, and it's too tough to call depending on what happens this weekend and how teams sort of go into it. And interestingly, without the bonus point system, presumably.
Well, yeah.
So they're really given that any.
Will it change the way they play towards the end of quarters?
Well, I literally hadn't given it any serious amount of thought until just then. Yeah, it probably will certainly mean that there might be quarters that get iced.
Yeah.
Which is what used to happen, where you sort of mess around with the ball. If you're one goal up, that we might see that not happen, which is actually potentially quite interesting. It certainly won't make any difference in terms of personnel or anything like that. But yeah, it will be interesting to see.
So for me, I want to see the West Coast Fever win. I want that story to go through because, and it really is all. Well, no, it's not all on the back of one person, but it's all because of the change up front. You don't want to say that Fowler is the only reason, but look at the change from last year to this year, and that's what it is. What were they score?
And to go from winning two games...
40-odd?
Yeah, and did they win two games last year, from memory, for the entire season? So as far as turnarounds go, it would be. And then Perth, from, you know, people over there, you know, the Perth community and the Western Australia, you know, community has really got behind them. And, you know, they were aiming to get 10,000 people into Perth Arena for their last couple of home games. I don't know whether they quite made it or not, but they certainly have captured people's imagination, with the way that they've been playing, which is really exciting for Western Australian netball too.
And AJ and I have said this over the journey. The West Australian crowds are probably one of the best and most parochial crowds. They really get behind.
All of their local teams. They love them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There was a few complaints actually about the way that sort of game day was managed and the music and the volume and that sort of thing. Cause, you know, they were playing sort of funny sounding music when someone, you know, when they scored a goal, but when the opponents did, they weren't, or, you know, whatever it might be. And I just remember thinking, oh, how fantastic. How brilliant. I love that idea that people are whinging and complaining about, you know, the court day, the court experience or whatever it might be. That's what it's all about. That's what they want to be developing in the game, is those real rivalries. And that's why it's so interesting that this final is being played in Sydney. It's hugely, hugely significant that it's in Sydney and not in Perth, obviously, for the Giants to have a home crowd, and for Fever to have to travel, because we all forget how far it is, and they do it all the time and they're very used to it and they've got all their processes, but it's still a long way and it's still a different kind of routine than if you were at home. So that probably sits in Giants' favour, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. True and fair enough. Erin, we want to thank you ahead of the weekend of the first finals of this year's Super Netball season. Thanks for chatting to us again. We really appreciate your input, because you know a hell of a lot more about all of this than we do. We look forward to talking to you again, which will be pretty soon, because we'll probably chase you up around grand final time and afterwards.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to do that.
Excellent. And also, very quickly, good luck in your football grand final as well as your football finals.
Cross-code superstar.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you. Still got 3 weeks in netball, but footy finals starting this week. Yeah. So, we've got a sudden death final. So, hopefully we can get over the line. Yes, boom, boom.
Superstar forward Erin Delahunty leads the team to victory.
Just got to bring the ball down to ground. That's all I've got to do. Got to provide an option, look scary, and then bring the ball down to the little fellas. That's what it's all about.
Brilliant.
And then sort of run parallel to the contest. Yeah, so kind of look busy.
Yeah, so you get in the photos.
Yeah, of course. And then, you know, do a bit of ruck work. Give the ruck a rest occasionally as well, so that you get a few more photos, obviously, in the ruck. So.
All right. Thanks very much.
It's great fun. Thanks.
We'll speak soon.
Cheers. Thank you.